Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about challenges to knowing and hearing from God. We went off on kind of a tangent last week, but I thought we covered some really good ground, and that is one thing we want to be able to do here is we're, even though this is a series, we want to address things as they come up. So if you have something you'd like to discuss, please don't hesitate to drop me a line or even put it in the chat box, and we'll see if we can get to it. Because what we're really doing, we're looking at a lot of this material that we've talked about over and over again because we need to hear it over and over again. It is so often that it's very different from what we have learned or what we've heard before or what even is available now. And we all need to be encouraged. We all need to be confirmed that we're not alone in what we believe, what we're experiencing. And so that's part of our goal here is to provide that encouragement that as long as you're depending on God, you're on the right track. And even if you're on the wrong track, it's God's job to get you back on track, whatever that is. Relying on our own flesh, our own strength, our own abilities, our own crutches, that's really the only way we're off track. It's not when we've made, you know, asked for his help, asked for his guidance, depended on him, and then found ourselves in a situation we didn't think could happen or in a place where we didn't intend. And then we think we've missed God. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. Because, you know, you're in him. How are you going to miss him? And many times we just merely have to adjust our goal, our purpose. And that is to know him. He is the right place in the right time. And we can relax and rest and enjoy being with him. You never have to go beyond that if he doesn't lead you. If all he has you doing is enjoying him, spending time with him, being one with him, and you never feel like, okay, you're doing anything for him, you're never ministering or you're never reaching out or you're never, you know, evangelizing or reaching the world for Christ or, you know, giving enough money or enough time or enough this or that. If that's where he's got you, to think otherwise is arguing with him. And a lot of those things in that list, you probably are doing but don't even realize. Because when we're connected with him, when we're receiving that life from him, it overflows and goes where he wants it. And a lot of times we don't know it because we're not doing it. Our conscious awareness, which is so used to putting soulical effort into things. When it's by the Spirit, very often bypasses our soul or it's so easy because it's him. It's like we're sitting at a table, and he says, with him, and he says, pass the salt, and we pass the salt. And he says, go heal that person, and we go heal that person. And he says, now speak to your neighbor, and we speak to our neighbor. It's all the same because we're eating with him. We're abiding in him and enjoying his presence and his view on things. Now, this does make us a little alienated. And so be it. He's going to provide whatever comfort and encouragement you need. You know, hopefully, and we're part of that. That's his job. God, this is where we talk about where God is jealous over us. And we, you know, we don't want to take that negatively. He's not worried about what we're doing with our time behind his back. It's he enjoys our pleasure as well. He enjoys spending time with us and making us into everything he wants us to be, that spirit, soul, and body joined into one. He enjoys healing us and nurturing us and revealing himself to us. He enjoys that. And so often we, instead, we believe these other directives that we need to be involved in ministry, where we need to be out, you know, doing something, changing the world, being involved in whatever the cause of the day is. Now, those things are certainly totally not off the table, but they are not your purpose. They may be projects that God gives you. God may assign you to be the President of the United States or to start your own company or to develop a new quantum theory or to just be really good at raising your kids. Projects. They are training assignments to accomplish your purpose, which is to know him. So God crafts in your life and my life projects to reveal to us, he already knows them, but to show and reveal to us areas where we are still trying to do things our way. He wants to show us where we're believing lies and where we still need healing. We have no idea the depth of what God has already revealed in our spirit. We are so consumed with this life. In the natural, this time-bound plane, that when he gives us a peek, we are so startled by it. And yet that is the reality. He is reality. He is eternal life. So it is his goodness, that taste of who he is that draws us to deal with whatever project he has assigned to us. Sometimes he asks us to do things we don't particularly want to do. If we are under the impression that this is the only sphere of reality that we will get our faction from. We are going to judge on our own what God has asked us to do in light of, will it satisfy us? And that's one of the reasons that there is such dissatisfaction amongst Christians out there with their lives, with their marriages, with their fellowship. It's because they have a misunderstanding of what this life is meant to be. So if you are expecting what you do, for instance, for a living, to satisfy you, it never will. You may have some fleeting satisfaction, and you should, but not that deep contentment and rest. You may have some satisfaction from the way your family life is going, and you should, but it's not going to be that deep, restful contentment. You may cure cancer. You may achieve some high level of supernatural gifting. But even ministry will not satisfy. Only knowing God gives you, gives me, gives any of us that deep contentment and satisfaction, and truly that eating of that tree of life, experiencing eternal life now, is what satisfies. And each and every single one of us can do it at any time. In our spirit, we already are. We, as we spend time with him and he reveals himself, we get that taste and see that the Lord is good. We get that taste and we want more. And so the Lord gives us a taste and wants to give us more. But instead of just saying, okay, I want more, how do I get more? We try to plan it out or plug into, okay, this is how I can fit this part into what I'm doing over here, rather than letting those other things fall away or have a lesser priority so that we can make room for what truly satisfies. Thinking again of that story of Mary and Martha, sisters that knew Jesus was going to come to their house. They were going to have a private dinner with the Messiah. And they both believed in him. Now one stayed with him while he was talking. They both could have, but the other went back to their house and took care of all of her duties so that when the Messiah would be with her in her house, she could give him all of her attention. That's wisdom, recognizing where our satisfaction truly comes from and making sure we do what is necessary, not more than that, but what is necessary, taking care of the things that need to be done so that when we are alone with him, we can give him our undivided attention. We have no idea what God has in store for us. I will say, though, that what is happening in your outward circumstances has nothing, cannot interfere with that eternal life. You may think that circumstances need to change in order for you to be able to find that rest, find that eternal life. That they're two totally separate things. They're two totally different activities within you. Now, one misinterpretation we also struggle with is our feelings, our emotions. That we think that if we're experiencing eternal life, of course, joy is going to come. And we're going to feel good about it, and all our problems will go away. And sometimes that isn't the case. Sometimes nothing changes. Sometimes all the best we can do is endure. But the life that comes from God endures for us. And these are things that are better felt than told. Just learning to recognize his presence. It's like trying to describe what chocolate chip ice cream tastes like. You have to taste it for yourself. Trying to describe snow to someone who was born and raised in Hawaii. They may think they know all about it, but they know nothing until they've experienced snow for themselves. And you and I, we may think we know what God is like, but we're just starting. The adventures that he has for each one of us are crafted specifically for each one of us. So give him the time to reveal himself to you on his terms. Don't wait for time. Give him the time you have now. And, okay, we're at the beginning of a year. If you have been scheduling time, review that with him. You know, perhaps you've been giving him half an hour a day. Maybe he wants more. Maybe he wants less. Maybe on Saturday he wants you to give him 4 hours. This is where we can apply practical approaches to knowing him and be objective about keeping our lives in order. Now, God is real generous and merciful so that when we are in a crisis and he calls and we call on him, he very often answers. But we struggle then with, are we hearing him right? Is that him? Or is that one of our enemies, the world, the flesh, or the devil? So waiting until there's a crisis, until we have to hear from him, that is just plain old not wise. But if you have been spending time with him and have learned to recognize his voice and learned how to test what you hear and are even starting to practice overcoming the enemy when a crisis comes, not if, but when, we will see it for what it is, a challenge. It's not a punishment or judgment. We can just go to God, Lord, what's going on here? Is there something I need to do? Is there a different decision we need to make? And when we hear something, we know how to test it. And we can go from there. So we're dealing with the combination of being very practical, taking care of those things that are under our legal responsibility in the natural and in the supernatural, but recognizing that we live and move and have our being in the spiritual realm. That's where home is. And the more time we spend home, the more we'll want to. So be prepared. When God pours himself into us, he makes more room for himself. And the more we are prepared for that, the easier of a transition it will be. Now, God doesn't deliberately put us in situations, for the most part, that are going to cause controversy. He's not going to make your life miserable just for the sake of making your life miserable. But there's going to be times when he rocks the boat. And when he's rocking the boat, we don't try to stop it. We let it rock. And a safe position to be in any of these areas, is just to remind ourselves of how much God loves. How much he loves us, how much he loves others. And again, this isn't about the quality of how good of a Christian our brothers and sisters are, or how good of a Christian we are, or how good of a sinner our brothers and sisters are. God's love is not dependent on the receiver, the recipient. It's dependent on him. He loves with a pure love because that's who he is. That's what he does. He can't not do that, regardless of who the receiver is. His love is like the sunshine. It shines. The sun radiates. It doesn't select, okay, this is a bad mountain. I'm not going to shine on it. God loves because he is love. And this is part of what causes controversy, is because as we experience that love, we too love. Period. The eternal life that we are experiencing flows out to whomever and however God has decided it should. And it's not up to us to decide, well, wait a minute, that person doesn't know Christ. He doesn't deserve to be healed. And that's a biggie. We should only minister to Christians. We want to stop and think for a minute, though. When Jesus was walking around on this earth and ministering and encouraging and blessing and healing and raising from the dead, how many had been saved? Many of them believed in him, but the kingdom had not come yet. They could not be spiritually reborn. None of them were born again Christians. So all, even his disciples, were non-Christians, were sinners. And did that stop Jesus at all? That's who he came for. That's who he comes for. That was his job. You know, he didn't come to go and die on the cross. That was a project. Purpose was to continue to be in his Father. His Father had purposed for him to be the lamb that was slain and carried all the sin. But that was the Father's doing, not Jesus's. The Father sent him. The Father revealed himself. The Father taught him. The Father led him to the cross, and the Father crucified him. The Father put him in that tomb, and then the Father raised him again. And then the Father took him to his right hand. What he was charged with was learning to hear his Father, learning to obey him, learning to endure what the Father was going to put him through. In that sense, we are all in the same boat. We are going through the same thing Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, okay, I can't even talk to you because you don't believe in me. He was not focusing on his ministry. He was focusing on, am I learning what my Father is teaching me? Lord, what do we do here? What is your purpose here? What shall we do here? Why did we come here? He was in constant communication. Now, of course, there was constant interference, and the enemies that we have, he had. Because he had focused and learned to hear his Father, to know his Father, and to be satisfied only by his Father, he endured till the end. He finished strong. He knew whom he believed. So it's not about book learning or having plans. This is, if you do this, this, and this, you'll be a good Christian. It's about being honest about what satisfies us, then letting the Lord do that satisfying. He pours eternal life from our spirit into our soul and into our body. Again, we have all the eternal life right now that we are ever going to get. You may or may not know what your project is right now. And that's where you want to make sure you take some time and just double check with the Lord. This is what I think I am supposed to be working on. And be very objective and practical, just as if you were his employee. Lord, how am I doing in this area? Am I spending enough time? Am I pursuing the right things? Am I involved with the right people, the right projects? And let him get back to you. Let him give you a review on how you're doing. But don't mistake that for being satisfying, or an evaluation of who you are as a spirit being. So with that, we'll pick it up next week. One of these days, we will get to the next section in this series. But be encouraged for this year. God has more for you than you could possibly imagine, and you're going to love it. It may not all be easy. It never is. It's not good for it all to be easy. We don't grow when it's easy. We don't mature in our soul and in our body when it's easy. So let Him bring you on the path that He has set for you. So we'll get together again next weekend, next Sunday. Until then, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. It's always good to hear from you. I do appreciate your emails and your encouragement. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of the Rainers Radio, the Rainers Club. Rainers Radio, the Rainers Club. Have a good night.